Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Michael Johnson, who is a professor at the Frank Lloyd Wright School of Architecture and also a friend and spokesperson with the Italian Tile Trade Association. Michael, how you doing?
Just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you. I see you, I think, twice a year at this show and at the Trusai show. One of the things, I guess let's start out talking about the space that we're standing in right now. You're always asked to be the architectural designer of the space, and this is the hospitality area for the Italian Tile Trade Association. And I notice this is a raised floor. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the raised floor system has been available for many, many years. Substruct. You can put anything on it, if you may. You'll put wood on over the substruct. The early advantages to this was before we're now kind of embarking on this wireless world, so we don't have to keep changing electrical things. But originally, while it was developed for like office buildings, where they would be changing, the technology was continually changing with telephone wires, electricity needs in certain areas. That's the basis of why it was developed. Reason I use it on this one is I was forewarned by everybody that when we came to Las Vegas, there was huge deflections in the floor. And there was up to 6-inch differences in a span of 60-foot booth such as this. So I said, well, this is a good way that we can display how the system works, and also I don't have to fight that 6-inch deflection problem. Interesting enough, though, the tiles are all going to be donated to the Frank Lloyd Wright School of Architecture, as well as the steel beams. Many of the products that we have here, Ceramic Tiles Italy has been so wonderful to donate them to the school. And our program at the school is the students are constantly involved in actually building things. Each student has the opportunity to build a shelter, which would be a small room for themselves. They can design it, build it, and seek products, donations of products. But we're going to have enough tile to do 30 shelters with the amount of tile that's going to be going there.
Actually, it's amazing. This tile, it looks like it's grouted because of the way it's beveled on the edge, but it's not. I mean, you can actually lift this system right up. And also, that's one question. Another question is, I mean, it's hard to believe we're on an elevated floor because it's so solid and stable.
Well, actually, if you look through the view window, we have a view window in the middle, which I did so people would be able to see how the system works. And the thickness of the tile is about 1.5 inches in thickness. And it's a standard porcelain glued to an MDF board. And then the perimeter of the tile has a neoprene gasket that's sealed to it. And you can very easily pull up any tile in the field with a glass suction cup. You know, the same kind of suction cups that glaziers use in setting glass.
This is very interesting. I want to talk to you about that. But the main reason I wanted to interview you is you're not only an educator, but you're also a practitioner. You're out there and you're in the design field. And I wanted to ask you a couple questions. First off, we're starting to hear after this great recession that we're starting to ease out of this. And I know you have a lot of students who are stepping into the professional world. Is it a tough time? Are they finding jobs? Talk a little bit about that.
It is an impossible time. And, you know, one of the realities, I actually had two of my students break down and cry about the anxieties that they're having coming out with student loans of $100,000 to get a master's degree in architecture. And the entry-level salary for a young kid with a master's degree in the United States is a pathetic $12 an hour. That's poverty level. So here we are with a child that has spent 6 to 8 years of their lives getting a degree to do what one would think is an honorable profession. They come out and they won't even be able to live with any kind of dignity. There is not a lot of work that's happening. There's big government jobs that are happening, government-funded jobs that are happening, but the private sector money is not coming. And they're not making loans. And so Wall Street is really ignoring the middle class. And of course, the poor architect might have gotten a client to do a small project, small house. They can't get it funded. So, and you know, there's so many people out there now with 10, 12 years of experience in working in an architectural office that are looking for jobs. And then, of course, who would you hire? Would you hire the kid that right out of school, or would you hire a guy that's been in the industry for 10 years? And, of course, they're beating them down, too. You know, the architects will take the 10-year veteran, if you may, and pay them entry-level money. So it's kind of a mess.
We're hearing that the affluent, and there are plenty of people with money in the U.S. that are starting to feel a little bit easier about spending some money. And they're usually the ones that hire the architects. So are you seeing the affluent that are they starting to do some building?
You know, I've had a few inquiries, over the last, I've only had one job in the last 2 years, and it's a small 8-unit apartment building in Scottsdale, a low-budget project, if you may. But I've had recently a few calls, one fellow out in Seattle. There's also some guy in Tennessee contacted me. But I do have a few feelers out there. But, again, there's a big difference between just somebody calling you up and talking to you about it and signing a contract and moving ahead.
Well, everybody recognizes Frank Lloyd Wright. His design is always...
I think Wright was, first of all, a romantic. Okay, unlike Mies van der Rohe or Corbusier, who were much more intellectual in their approach to architecture than Wright. And the romance of Wright's work is I think, what captivates the imagination. Also, the social behavior of the man. He's somewhat of a scoundrel, and I think that's an intriguing thing to people. There's been 4 or 5 books written recently about his escapades with women and so on. But I think he was an innovative worker and thinker, much more interested in an idea and not necessarily worried about how long it may live. You know, to renovate one of his buildings today is millions upon millions of dollars. And, you know, if you go look at some of the buildings that were done by architects like Mies, their maintenance is low, they still look brand new, and they don't leak. But Wright was an interesting character, and I believe that he's the only architect in the history of mankind with consumer recognition. Okay, if we went out to Manhattan and asked 100 people who Frank Lloyd Wright was, that probably 60% of them would know. If you asked them who Mies van der Rohe was, you'd be lucky if one would know, and that would be because you probably jumped. Bumped into an architect.
Yeah, because he did mostly houses, or why do you think that is?
Well, certainly the house is the experimental ground for architecture. I just recently read a wonderful article by a Mexican architect and journalist talking about the residential project is really the laboratory for what can and will happen in the evolution of commercial construction. So, you know, certainly Wright's houses far outnumbered his commercial work, whereas on the other hand, Oscar Niemeyer from Brazil, he did very, very few houses and built the whole city of Brazil in 3.5 years.
So let's pursue this housing as a smaller scale way of experimenting with different design types. Are you seeing or are you teaching any changes based on this economy? Are we going to see houses of the future that are smaller with multitask rooms that serve 2 different functions? Or are you seeing anything in that area?
I'm not seeing it. It's kind of interesting in the way I teach is I try to stay away from the design area and let that for the dreamers. Good design is good design, and I always say the best designs that architects, let's take all the architects in the United States, the best work that they ever did was work they did in school, okay, because I was their professor, or people like me, and I was demanding good work, whereas the architects today go out and build to the client's demands and specification because it's based on commerce. So in school, you know, it's a different thing. You want to encourage the student to think outside of the box, to really expand their ideas and what's possible.
Well, let's talk one last thing. As we talk here at this show, you are an advocate for the use of ceramic tile. I know you design with other materials, but what makes a ceramic tile a great surface for flooring?
Well, first of all, it'll last a lifetime. It's not going to fall apart. It's not going to deteriorate. It's a very durable product. It's made of the earth. It is sustainable a product as you can possibly use. Interesting enough, we're sitting in the Italian booth, and it does have that travel issue. And how does that measure with sustainability with locally built tiles? I know some of the Italian companies now have plants where they're producing locally developed product. That certainly, to me, is a very important thing. It's also easy to maintain.
Well, let's talk about this whole concept of it either being a shirt or the tie. In other words, you do a lot of design work. Should the floor be basically the background, or should it be the accent?
Well, the floor, you know, the way I use tiles generally is not decorative. I use it as a building component. You know, my own home, I have a wood floor, and I have three beautiful Missoni rugs. We all know the great dress designer, fashion designer, Missoni, and that's the same thing that you can do with the tile. When I built my house, you know, my wife kind of didn't like the idea of the coldness of the tile, so I went with wood. It was her house, not mine. You know what that's all about. But, you know, if you have a beautiful white floor, you put Missoni rugs or anybody else's rugs.
All right, Michael, well, I appreciate you spending time with us again. We've been talking to Michael Johnson at Coverings 2011 in Las Vegas, an architect and professor with Frank Lloyd Wright School of Architecture, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloorDaily.net.